What's popping, everybody? Welcome back into the Expired Popcorn Podcast. As always, I am your host, Stone.
And I'm Zach.
And we today are going to talk about the fresh and the forgotten in film and TV, as we usually do. And today we're talking about a very good video game adaptation. Very excited. We are talking about the new Amazon Prime show, Fallout, which neither of us had played the video games. Nope. Zach did a lot of research, though.
I did a lot of research, just didn't ever play the games.
What is the have you found out what is the best installment of the game? Have you talked to fans and
everyone seems to really like Fallout 3 and 4. And then people seem pretty divided on Fallout 76 and Fallout New Vegas, I think is the name.
Honestly, I've heard a lot of people like New Vegas.
Yeah.
And full spoilers, by the way, on our discussion today about Fallout, because I was going to say, I guess that was a little tease there at the end of the show when it showed New Vegas.
Seems like that's where they're going.
Yeah, so I didn't know that, but then I saw some videos and, you know, the algorithm got on me really quick afterwards. I'm like, oh, this guy really is into Fallout right now. Kept on showing me video after video. And then I saw somebody said New Vegas, and I was like, oh, that looks very... Actually, no, I'm lying. Because the credits started rolling after the series was over, and I saw there was like art in the credits, yeah. And it showed Las Vegas, and that's how I kind of connected the dots.
Yeah, really quick, I almost missed all of the art and everything because I like credits started rolling, so I almost exited out of the show, and then I was like, wait a minute, actually I'm still scarred from when I watched Invincible season one live and missed half the season because the credits would roll too early. So then I went back.
There wasn't any credit scene, was there?
No,
I didn't. Okay.
There wasn't. You missed nothing, but other than the art, if you skipped any of the credits ever, like there's like
I'm so happy that you told me that, because as soon as the first episode ended, I was like, oh, this is what he was talking about. It's every episode.
Literally every episode. And then some of the episodes are literally like halfway through, they roll the freaking credits, and then you have the rest of the episode.
It's very, very interesting. I don't know where they got that idea from, but
I don't know.
It catches someone. I don't know. It's kind of like a neat little thing. I feel like that, at least out of all the shows that I've watched, it's very unique.
Yeah.
And you watch more TV than I have, and you've never seen anything like it.
No.
But Fallout. Fallout did not do this.
No, Fallout did not do that. Principle.
What is it, 8 episodes? There's a big debate right now whether we are going to be talking about or thinking about this show.
In a week.
In a week. What do you think about the whole week-to-week or binge method?
I think it would have been better had Fallout released weekly. I think that this show fits a weekly, like, I think the way Netflix does its shows, I don't know what they've done, but the formula of their shows now fit a binge all at once model, but I don't think it works for other networks or other streamers as well, because I don't know, like, I like can't pinpoint what Netflix does with their shows that makes them, and it's not even that they're like more bingeable than other series, it's just like the way they formulate the actual writing of the show, like, fits a bingeable model and, like, makes them talk, like, makes it easier to talk about for more than just a week. Netflix 100% does that on purpose. But, like,
interesting.
I think that, like, Fallout was written with the idea in mind that it would be for any network, whether it was going to be on something like Disney Plus that traditionally does weekly releases, Amazon Prime, which does like a mix of both, or cable TV like HBO or Showtime even, where they also do the weekly releases.
The first thing when you mentioned Disney Plus, the first thing that popped in my mind, because I don't really watch a whole lot of shows that do the weekly releases, was I remember watching The Mandalorian would like do traditional television where it would tell an overarching story, but at the same time, each episode would be its own, you know, singular story, yeah. Episodic. So it made sense for the model. Like, they knew the entire time that they were going to release episodes every single week based on, you know, what you were given, you know, all that. I don't know. I gave the illustration where it's Fallout's very new. The thing is, releasing weekly, if you have one bad episode, it can really tank your show.
Yeah, it can.
Why would I revisit it? People are getting really lucky now when it comes to X-Men 97 and Shogun. Like we talked about at the beginning before we started recording, but I don't think there is a bad episode in Fallout, which is good.
Yeah, that's why I think it would have done really well on a weekly release and like caused more buzz.
Right. I guess the thing is too, Fallout's news to a lot of people more than X-Men. X-Men, you have a lot of people feeding on nostalgia. And I feel like you just have more people in general Marvel than you would have fans of a Fallout game. So there's a lot of new eyes on this property. And releasing it all at once, I feel like, allows people to give it a go quicker rather than there's one episode of it. I might try it. Rather than the whole show's here, we'll see if it's good. If not, I'll turn it off. I don't know. It's very interesting. And then the whole, the good aspect of dropping your shows at once is you only have to pay for the streaming service 1 month. Now,
that's true. Yeah.
I did give that example, but do I pay for Amazon Prime every single month? Yeah, I do.
I do. Well, I mean it's included in your Amazon Prime membership, so
it's my mother-in-law's, but
it's my parents. Well, it's mine, but everything's under my name. It's just on my parents' credit card.
I just let my mother-in-law know that there was like you can, you know, purchase additional channels on your Amazon Prime, like Stars, Cinemark, all this stuff. She had like 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And I told her, I was like, do you know, and her son and his wife and their children, they all use it. I was like, do you know you're paying for all these extensions? She goes, let me call my son and I'll thank you for letting me know that. I was like, no problem. Now I didn't mind it when I would search a movie and it would be available because she had a random extension, but Fallout, you don't need extension for that. It is on Amazon Prime. It is an Amazon Prime original show that is already, I believe, greenlit for season 2.
I have not heard or seen anything, but I believe you on that.
If it's not greenlit...
It's very likely, at the very least.
Yeah, it's getting really good reviews. It'll be interesting to see how quickly they're going to renew it, if they do renew it. Let's see here. Is there going to be... I believe so. I believe it's already greenlit. So there was word.
This Forbes article 2 days ago says that it's season 2 is still not confirmed.
Well, I would agree with Forbes besides me.
Everything is saying, like, if it's renewed. Again, it's very likely, so I feel like we can just talk about it as if it is happening.
Yes. Yes. I mean, I feel like it's already written as well. I believe.
I would imagine.
Jonathan Nolan. We're going to be speaking about Jonathan Nolan later in the podcast, talking about his film that he wrote with his brother, Christopher Nolan, Memento. But I believe he's already writing season 2.
Good.
Cause... And did you see the story coming out recently where the actor he was thinking about putting in season 2?
I think I did see something, but I don't remember who it is.
Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
You said Aaron Paul, and I immediately thought of one of the Paul brothers, and I was like, no, remove them. No. Yes, Aaron Paul, that's okay. The Paul brothers, no.
No, yeah, Aaron Paul, who is in Westworld, who Jonathan Nolan also was involved with. I love things like that. One thing that I really enjoy, I just love picking up on why certain actors are in projects. I don't know if you're like that, but there's a...
Yeah, I like knowing the like history of... like a director and an actor, or like actors that have like regularly do stuff together.
So do you know the relationship between the guy who loses his head, Michael Emerson? That's the actor's name, but the guy who loses his head in this show.
No, I do not.
So I'm a big fan of him just because Michael Emerson was a big character on Lost.
Mm-hmm.
He played Benjamin Linus, very iconic character of that show.
Yes.
But Jonathan Nolan made Person of Interest.
Yeah.
And he was the lead actor in Person of Interest.
Oh.
So it makes sense that Jonathan Nolan and him still have a relationship together. Therefore, he is in Fallout, which I really enjoyed. He's not in there for a long time, but I enjoyed the seconds that he was there. But what did you... big surprise? Did you think you were going to like Fallout going into it? Were you surprised by the world? Because you look up spoilers, but you didn't know anything about this
world. I didn't look up any spoil. I looked up zero spoilers. Good. The only things I looked up while watching the show were what the hell was Vault Tech? Because they kept talking about it in the first episode, and I just like was not catching on. And so I just had to look up what Vault Tech was. And that was the only thing I looked up.
Vault Tech is basically the people who built everything.
Yes. But I didn't, like, they kept talking about Vault Tech as if it was, like, technology and not the company. I was confused. I was like, why? Like, that's so, like, that's it? Just Vault Tech? That's so bland.
Did you know that this was post-apocalyptic when you went into it?
Nope. Well, I mean, yes and no. Like, okay. I was planning to watch...
You find out very soon in the opening scene.
Yes. I was planning to watch the show regardless, and then you said we were doing it for the podcast, and you told me it was post-apocalyptic. So, like, planning to watch the show, no, I didn't know it was post-apocalyptic, and then you said it was, and I was like, oh, even better. That means I'm gonna like it.
You really like post-apocalyptic stuff?
Yeah, I've watched all seasons of The Walking Dead and, like, almost every spinoff.
I would say she doesn't watch The Walking Dead. My wife is a sucker for, like, Roland Emmerich films, which one of her favorite films ever is 2012, The Day After Tomorrow, Moonfall. Like, she loves stuff
I did love so 2012, and I used to watch it all the time.
It's a very wild
movie. It is a wild movie. I also used to watch, what is that movie with Ben Affleck? And is it Liv Tyler? What is that movie? The one where they have to go destroy the asteroid or something.
Is that called Armageddon?
Armageddon. I knew it was something apocalyptic. I used to watch that movie all the time.
Yeah, maybe I should watch that with my wife. She might like that. She hasn't watched that before.
Oh, but I think she would like it. It's like sort of romance-y. It's like Titanic, but like end of the world.
Yeah. Yeah, we just watched Titanic the other two, so that'll be a nice fit. But yeah, post-apocalyptic, we find that out very soon.
Very quickly.
And it's not, you don't really get to see much of it besides the very opening scene, and then it's all done. So I'm happy that she was satisfied with watching everything explode, and still, this world is very interesting.
It's like almost unserious.
The vaults are so interesting.
Yeah. The vaults are... I don't like the idea of vaults.
Ooh, why? I love it.
So no, I'm just claustrophobic.
Oh, okay.
I wouldn't survive down there. It's a me thing.
Oh, okay.
For the show, I think it works.
Okay. Yeah, I thought you meant, like, I don't like the vaults in the show. And I was like, that's my favorite part.
No, I think the vaults really work down there. And I also think the thing that's, like, super interesting about the vaults is the way that they literally grow crops down there. And, like, have sunlight as if they're not at least 12 feet underground.
I don't know how they do it. We're not supposed to think about that stuff. But so you would be outside the vault. You wouldn't be a vault person.
I would rather have been a land dweller or, like, above ground dweller.
They call it the wasteland, right?
I would rather have tried to survive in the wasteland or just blown up and then in the apocalypse.
That would have been fine, quick and easy. You don't have to deal with the apocalypse at all.
Yeah.
But the first 20 to 25 minutes where you're just, like, chilling in the vault and then the people show up, what are they called? I guess land dwellers?
They're raiders.
Raiders. They come in from Vault 32 and you find out everyone's dead in Vault 32. Very exciting first 30 minutes of the show. Really hooked me really quick.
Yeah.
You don't even see Walton Goggins until the very end. And I was waiting for him. I feel like there's a lot of hype around him. The ghoul itself, because you've done research on the game, the ghoul is not... There are ghouls, but
there's ghouls, but yeah, Walton Goggins' character... Like, none of these characters... Well, none of them are...
Right.
Like, characters in the games. They're all... Like, this is a completely original story for... Like, based on the games. And it's also... Like, everything I was reading was saying it's, like, a new entry into the games. It's not, it's not as if somebody is writing a story about the games and, like, creating new characters for it. Yeah. They are creating characters that exist in the same world as the game. So it is a canonical entry to the Fallout franchise.
I remember a lot of people were worried about that. I feel like this is the blueprint. Like, this is what...
This is what video game franchises that, like, don't have major story, or, like, major character-driven story need to be.
Yeah, I mean, and it works, and we keep on finding. I mean, we covered Avatar: The Last Airbender, now we're covering this, and the difference between these two is that this worked with the creators of the game, where Avatar: The Last Airbender for Netflix, the live action, did not work with the creators. It did originally, and now what is a better reviewed show? What is a better loved show? This over that. A little bit different because it is, animation to live action. This is video game to live action. But the one example, I think a lot of people like The Last of Us. Last of Us was in partnership with
The
what's his
creators
name?
or
Yeah,
the what's
I thought I could
what
think of
is
the
his
guy's name.
name?
Neil Druckmann, that's his name. Look at me, pull that out of my ass. But the one example, the bad example, is Halo. Not a lot of people like the Halo
Oh
show.
yeah,
Apparently,
everybody
once
hated that show.
it hasn't been made with the creators, as far as I know. And then also the people who were involved in making the show never even played the video games whatsoever.
Yeah, everyone was saying that they literally just wrote like a war story. Just
Yeah,
like a
and that's
generic
we.
story that has nothing to do with these characters.
And who. There are people out there that watch Halo, but I feel like if the core fans of the franchise, the IP, aren't watching it, then who's going to watch it besides them?
Yeah, like if you can't get fans excited about it, like why would anybody else be?
So I feel like we're in a new direction that is really going to benefit video game movies and television. One thing I could think of right away is Minecraft. I don't know why, but there's the
The
Minecraft movie that is
Minecraft
coming
movie
out.
that's in the work. Who's even in that? Isn't like Jason
Jack Black.
Momoa in it and
Jack
Jack
Black.
Black? Okay.
That's coming out early 2025. I'm trying to think what else. We have
Yeah, they just
the.
wrapped filming on that, didn't they? Like last week.
The Legend of Zelda game movie that's coming out. So that's being done by Sony. I don't know
I'm a
about
little
that. Sony.
nervous about that one because there's
Yeah.
been like no news about it, so we don't even know if like the creators are involved.
I believe it's also going to be live action
It
too,
is going to
correct?
be live action.
I don't like
I'm
that. I feel like
extra
if they're going to.
nervous. Although, I mean, if they are going to do any live action, if they're going to do a live action like Nintendo game, I'm
That's the only one we
glad
get.
it's Zelda because at least Link and like other characters in that look a little humanoid. Where like if you tried to do a live action Mario aside from the 90s one that they did, I just don't think it would work because none of those characters look like aside
I guess
from
my. I'll say my thought is like there would be such beautiful like it could be really beautiful like animation type style or anime type
It
style
could be a really
animation.
nice anime
That
style
this is the
sh
plan. This is
movie,
the
but this is the
for
one to
sure.
do live action. If you had to do a Nintendo franchise as live action, although the
Yeah.
Pokemon de or the P Detective Pikachu movie wasn't that bad.
No, I need to revisit that. I haven't watched that since it came out.
It's actually fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
That's like right at like a 60%,
Yeah,
correct?
it's at like a 65, I think.
But maybe with shows like Fallout and everything, people are getting better at. I mean, maybe we shouldn't be scared for all these adaptations that are
Yeah.
coming. Maybe everyone's learning their lesson, kind of thing.
I mean, as long as
It
the
might.
creators of the franchise are involved, I think you can do a series justice, whether you're doing a live action adaptation or like any type, like turning any type of video game into a show or movie, I think you can do it justice as long as you have the right people involved.
Yeah, so hopefully, I believe Nintendo's also going to be involved with The Legend of Zelda because they're heavily involved with Super
Super
Mario Brothers.
Mario,
So
yeah.
we'll see how that goes.
I
But yeah.
imagine ne or Nintendo wouldn't dare let somebody just run rampant with one of their IP.
No,
They're
Nintendo
like
is always. They don't. They didn't sell game.
psychoprotective.
Yeah, they didn't sell games for a long or like actually like toys and stuff for a long time.
Yeah. Like they
And I know there's that
still like they're
whole.
more
What was that game that just
psycho.
came out? What was that game that just came out that they it was a very Pokemon-like game that they
Oh, Pal World?
sued?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Nintendo's like super psycho about who they license their stuff out to. Like more so than Disney.
Jeez. But just like Nintendo will be with this game, or with Legend of Zelda, Bethesda was on board with Fallout. Who out of all the three storylines? So there we have three big storylines in the show. We got Maximus, who's part of the Brotherhood. We have Lucy, who is a vault dweller, and then we have the Ghoul, which is played by Walton Goggins. Out of those three, who was your favorite character interesting question. I feel like it's between two.
It's definitely between two.
poor Maximus. Or it could be Norm. Was it Norm?
Norm, yeah. I would say that Lucy was my favorite character. Just because, like, I was, like, rooting for her the whole time, and I knew that her world was gonna be rocked at the end. I just, like, it was very clearly coming. But I will say I loved the, like, flashbacks and, like, following along with the ghoul's storyline and seeing what his life was like as Cooper. And, like, the fact that that was something else that I had to look up. How the hell he was alive for 200 years. Like, I figured it had something to do with the radiation, but I needed confirmation.
So, I'm assuming that. I didn't need to look it up. I'm assuming. It's just
video. I just needed stuff. To know. I, like, needed to understand more of the, like, science behind it in order for it to make a little bit more sense.
Also, something that doesn't drag the show down, I feel like, is he's the only one who's been alive this long of time, so yeah. We don't need Maximus's backstory, really. Oh, speaking of which, I'm just going to get it out of the way. Me and my wife, I watched this whole thing with her, and that was really cool that I got to do that. I haven't done that with any show with her recently, so that was cool. But one gripe I do have, one little gripe. We talked about it beforehand. We'll get the gripes out of the way first. Maximus is an okay character.
Yeah. He's just everything okay.
Everything with the Brotherhood seems kind of underdeveloped right now. Maybe they'll expand upon it more and more as seasons come out. I will say one thing is they showed his backstory too much. The exact same shot.
Exact same scene. It was like they had that one little boy for one day, and that was the only scene they could get filmed. And they're like, well, this will have to work.
They showed that an excessive amount of times. And every time I saw it, it was supposed to be an emotional moment. And me and my wife just rolled our eyes.
Like, I didn't need to see him come out of that fridge 8 times.
No, I did not need to see that. But Maximus, I thought the actor did a good job. He has a very interesting, way about him. The character itself, very reserved, but also very childlike in the sense that he hasn't been given much in his life. So he's discovering new things along with Lucy. She's discovering new things about, you know, the world, the wasteland. And he's discovering new things about her, how, you know, someone can be. Because he's only known the wasteland in a sense. Lucy, I agree. Lucy is my favorite character, which is surprising because I know a lot of people really like the ghoul. Everyone was on the Walton Goggins train. I gotta say, I mean, it's a small thing, but his prosthetics that they did for him, I know the only thing that was CGI was
the nose. Black,
you know, gaping nose or the hole in his head kind of thing. But Lucy, I loved her little, I don't know if the right word is acronyms, but the way she talked, like the okie dokie and what the fudge, and I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
I thought
that was really good.
And she seemed both childlike, like Maximus in a different way, but childlike, but also not to a point where you ever were worried about her.
Yeah, it felt like Maximus was like almost like his child, like hindered by his childlike behavior, where like Lucy was one of those children that you just throw them into any situation and they figure it out.
Yeah, we say that, but then I think about the scene on the bridge where they're walking on the one side and the other people are walking on the one side. And
yeah, that's true.
Stay on that stage.
That's true. But like in more situations than not, it felt like Maximus was like, when it came to like normal things that you didn't have to like be prepared for, Maximus was like hindered just by the Brotherhood treating him like a child. And even though like Lucy grew up sheltered, literally, she felt like she was more well equipped to deal with people on a day-to-day basis.
And I'll say the prime example of that was very fascinating, a really, really pivotal moment of the season, but it's when they discovered, what was it, Vault?
Vault 4.
Vault 4. And Maximus, reasonably so, gets very in love with the lifestyle down there. And Lucy's a lot more cautious about it and finds out that everything is not what it seems. And then we find out that these vaults, if I understand correctly, everyone, when it comes to Vault, can just do whatever the hell they want. And it doesn't really matter, and everyone has like their own experience that they do with the people that are
involved. Yeah, that was wild to find that out. I was just like,
what makes you think the world, like, it just makes you want them to discover more vaults. And I think that's how it is in the game too.
I mean, I think in the games you go and at least in the first one, you definitely are like going from vault to vault looking, and like
that's very interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, I think I saw an interview with them, and Ella Purnell, she got the fact right. They asked him how many vaults there was, and she was the only one of the three that knew it, but there's 122 vaults, I believe.
Oh, damn. I didn't even know that there were 122.
Yep, 122 vaults that they can go to, and that different different experiments are being conducted on these people.
That is just crazy. And then I liked the nice little callback when they were in Vault 4 to find out that that pink salamander monster was not a radiated axolotl or salamander that just happened to like become giant. It was a human.
Was that the only, besides the cockroaches, I'm trying to think, was it just the cockroaches in that, were that like the only creatures in this film or this series,
like monster things? Yeah,
because they did like a lot with that.
Even the deer, like the deer were normal. I'm trying to think of what, the dog was somehow normal.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't do that more. I'm sure we'll get more of that maybe in the future. Maybe, I wonder if there is any monsters that weren't created by humans, if there's any created by radiation besides the cockroaches. I don't know. Maybe we'll find that out in future seasons.
Hopefully. I also want to know what happened to the ghoul's family. I felt
that's
like,
the thing too.
I thought that I was like going to be a big payoff. I thought that was going to be a big payoff at the end of the season, finding out what happened to his family. I mean, I guess we found out what happened to his family. They're evil. Or I guess his wife is evil, but...
Yes. But he still doesn't know where they are.
Yeah.
Him, his wife, and their daughter. Which is interesting if you think about it, because I guess in his mind, wouldn't he hope that they're also ghouls? Because there's no way that they're alive.
Well, I mean, his wife was trying to secure them a spot, so I'm assuming they're in Vault 31.
I forgot about that. That is true. They're probably doing the exact same thing, which that was also wild as well. I thought that was maybe the second most gripping storyline besides, I guess really how we have three. You kind of have the ghoul and Lucy are kind of together for a lot of the season.
Yeah. And only like half. And then she's with Maximus the other half.
I guess. Well, I mean, they all have different backstories, but the same goal.
Yeah.
But Norm is different. And I thought Norm's story was very interesting as well. Cause I think I just found the vault so fascinating. And I like the fact that we got to be in one basically for the entire season with his storyline, with trying to discover what happened to 31. Why are these people from 30 or what happened to 32? Why are these people from 31? And I love the scene where they clean up everything 32 and it's just normal. And everything was different right beforehand. And then you have, there's some really good comedy, like, I feel like some comedy that really fits probably the game that was peeking through. And I feel like the reason why I have this mindset that it's from the game because it's so unique is the fact that everyone was cousins. I can't wait to do something with someone that's not my cousin.
That's not my cousin. And then she like repeatedly has to remind her cousin, marrying your cousin's not conducive to normal human behavior or whatever the hell she says.
Yeah, and not in a weird way, too, is that she really wants to have sex just because she's never had it before.
Yeah.
She's asking Maximus, but Maximus is so childlike that he's like, no, I'm not, I don't know.
He's like, it's going to explode like a pimple. Ew. I've never heard it described that way, but I guess.
Yeah, I don't know what the Brotherhood's teaching.
They feel like a religious cult, so.
Yeah, very much so. And then everything with the suit, the suits look so good. Those are all practical.
They did look really good. I was shocked at, like, they didn't look fake. They looked like they work.
Yeah, and I don't think there was any CGI done. There's barely any CGI that I can really think of in the show that stands out. Obviously, we had talked about it, but the monsters, the cockroaches. But besides that, the Brotherhood ship, it's not an over-reliance on CGI, even though it is very much a heavily CGI show.
Yeah.
Not heavily CGI show, but it's a sci-fi show, and you get to see that a lot. You usually see that a whole lot, like Halo, we just talked about it, but Halo probably has way more than this.
I'm glad. I feel like there's this like renaissance in Hollywood going on right now where a lot of things are moving toward more practical effects and like practical sets and less reliant on CGI, because I think people are just like so CGI'd out. And I think that that's like kind of a byproduct of all the superhero stuff that we got, with an over-reliance on CGI. So I'm really happy to see that like more practical effects, even if it's like just with small things like the suits and the like makeup and stuff, and not relying on too much CGI, because it can only get you so far. Practical effects are really cool.
Yeah, and I, from what I've watched and everything, even though we haven't played the games, there's so many Easter eggs to a lot of things about the games, like the brand, like packs of cigarettes, the brands of TVs, even from the very first Fallout game, just little minute details. And I love that they can do stuff like that, but also create their own original story. It's just, I think it's really genius how they approach this. And I hope more, I don't know, how many video game adaptations do we have in the works? I hope that they all do this. I mean, there was, I didn't hear a lot of good things about it, but the Twisted Metal that came out on Peacock, I didn't really hear.
Oh, I didn't even hear about this.
Yeah, that had Anthony.
What is
Anthony
this show?
Twisted Metal, yeah. But had Anthony Mackie in it, and it didn't create much buzz.
Oh, yes, I did hear, I do remember seeing this. It got canceled, I think.
I wouldn't, like I said, I wouldn't be surprised just because we haven't heard much about it, but I heard it wasn't terrible, but this is the first show.
Oh, nope, it was renewed.
Renewed?
Right, it was renewed for season two. Maybe we'll have to give it a watch.
I think something similar probably is Arcane.
Oh my god, Arcane is so good.
Arcane is fantastic.
It is so good. I've literally never played League of Legends, but my older sister is the biggest League of Legends fan ever. And she made us watch it one Thanksgiving when I went down there, when I went down to Texas. And she was like, I already watched the whole show, but I'm going to watch it again. And so my boyfriend and I watched it with her. And she's like, are we ready to watch it again? And we were like, honestly, yes. Let's watch it again.
I think it's the same approach, though. Like, everyone who is, you know, involved with it, they are building the world, but they're making their own story about the world.
Yeah, it's, you know, it is. The world. Actually, I feel like Arcane was really the first time that a video game adaptation did it right. And this is the first time, well, I guess not the first time. This is one of the first times that they did it right for live action.
I know that Castlevania is a video game as well. And that show's been on, I believe, for a very long time.
People love that show.
Yeah.
I keep seeing scenes of it all over Twitter, and I'm like, maybe I do need to watch this, because I'm currently watching My Hero Academia, and I love, like, magic and sci-fi in anime, so keep seeing a lot of clips in Castlevania about magic, and I'm like, maybe I should watch this.
Yeah, whatever they're doing in Castlevania, they're doing it right, because everyone, I think it's like on it's possibly like 6th or 7th season.
Yeah, I think Castlevania's on 6 or 7, and then it has a spinoff. I think it has one spinoff, and I think another planned. And the spinoff has already been renewed for another season or two. So yeah,
these are, I mean, people have been saying it for the last couple of years, but these are the new superhero movies. I mean, there's all these interesting stories out there from video games with people with big minds that are going to, I mean, I just covered it, but there is a movie, Markiplier. You know Markiplier?
Mm-hmm.
Markiplier is directing and writing a huge movie, but he has taken on a big project. There's a teaser out that looks pretty promising called Iron Lung, and he's making his own film based on an indie horror game. You can only imagine how many indie horror games are out there, how many games in general that have very, you know, we're looking for creative writing ideas, and you have this endless catalog of people who have not only tried to be creative, but then they actually apply creative tools to their imagination. And there's just, and people are getting it right. And he is working with the person, I think, I don't know if I said it, it's called Iron Lung.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working with the creator of the game. He really loved the game. And I can't remember the details of it, but I just think this is really good for Hollywood. It's something that they needed because their material was getting kind of old.
I just really hope they don't overexhaust it and like try to pump out content. Like, I would much rather them have learned something from pumping out 4 to 8 superhero movies across the different studios every year for 10 years, and that just like completely plummet,
To
and
be
not try
honest,
to
I
do
don't know if that
that.
could happen. I don't know if that could happen because the thing with Marvel, right? All Marvel movies are similar. And it's easy to make Marvel movies because they're all very have the same structure, same acts. We all know what's going to happen with them. Now, you could, I mean, you have the Sonic, or we talked about the Legend of Zelda and Super Mario Brothers. Obviously, there's something probably going on there. Super Smash Brothers, that's been a rumor. But with Yeah, I get what you're saying. Don't pump out too much because then we'll get oversaturated, we'll get tired of it. But I don't think you can pump out too much when it comes to these very unique stories because they're not connective.
They're
They're not
not
connecting.
connected.
They're
I just, yeah, I think I was mostly referring to the fact that they just like rushed everything, and then it like very clearly was impacting the quality, because you look at like the golden age of like the Marvel movies, and even though they all fit the same structure, they're all unique because they actually were like taking time to like focus on the story that was being told. And then I feel like the last like 5 years of Marvel have been nothing but like one good thing in a like pool of disappointment, and then like DC didn't even try. DC just like pumped out absolute shit because they were
Yeah.
trying to keep up. I just don't want them to like I would much rather them be like, oh, we're making this Zelda movie, it's gonna take us 10 years because we have to write the story and find the right person to direct, and we have to find the right cast, and we have to make sure that the technology to do what's needed for CGI is up to par. Like, I would literally rather than be like, yeah, so here's an announcement, but sorry, it's gonna take us 10 years.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I get what you're saying. I mean, they always try to rush stuff as much as possible to try to get. I mean, if they have an empty slate in their calendar, how long is it gonna be until the Legend of Zelda movie's coming out? Can we do anything to speed that up?
Yeah, like I feel like they should just learn from James Cameron, who was like, I'm gonna invent stuff for my movies.
That's exactly what I thought. Was James Cameron is the person who he does not care. He's going to take his
As
time.
long as he needs, they should all learn from him.
I was gonna say, speaking of which, we're talking about this Legend of Zelda movie so much. I looked it up. I was like, who's directing that movie? It's actually the person who's directing this new Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes movie, which is about to come out. So that's probably when, because it is live action, when the ball will start rolling, maybe when they'll start getting a
Probably.
cast for it is when he's finally free. His name's Wes Ball is his name. So it'll be interesting to see not only how Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is, but to see maybe we can picture a Legend of Zelda movie in his type of filmmaking kind of thing.
Maybe what's the girl's name that was cast in Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes?
Oh, you want to talk to her about your B Zelda?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. She's blonde and
That's actually not a bad idea. Freya Allen is her name.
she even got an elf name.
That's actually not, I'm not hating that, not gonna lie. So
I
she's from The Witcher, is where a lot of people know
yeah.
her from.
Okay,
That's a
is
pretty good
she
name.
also there's who's the girl then that's in the Lord of the Rings show? Because I always get them mixed up.
I would not
Rings
know.
of Power, Lord of the Rings.
I really like that idea. So the only other movies that he's done is he's done the Maze Runner movies as well, which are all really solid. They're fine movies.
They just never took off like Hunger Games, and
They never did terrible and they never did
no,
good.
they
They
never
were
did.
just
Those were the movies that they
big
really
success.
were like, these are doing fine enough that we'll just keep doing all the books until we're done.
They all had the same director. I mean,
Yeah.
that's really unique. I feel like that doesn't happen a whole lot.
It wasn't like Divergent, which was awful.
That was a train wreck. Divergent was a big old train wreck.
To the point that they were like, yeah, we're gonna do the last movie, but we actually had to recast everybody, and now it's a TV movie.
And they have like a solid cast too. I know Juan Carlos Esposito is in these movies. He pops up in such random things. We talked about you watching Abigail. He's an Abigail, so randomly. But what do you hope to see in Fallout Season 2? more information. We said more information about the ghoul's backstory. Probably, hopefully, get information on his wife and his daughter.
Yeah. I really want to know what's going to happen in Vault 32, actually.
Yeah.
Because that felt ominous. That, like, the whole them going into Vault 32 and then us finding out that you're allowed to do whatever you want in your vault and, like, do whatever experiment you see fit in your vault happening at the same time felt very ominous, and, like, all the people that were originally from Vault 33 are gonna die in Vault 32. And then
that's what we think, anyways, from what the aftermath was, what we saw.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just, yeah, like you said, it's ominous. Like, we think that a bunch of bad stuff's going to happen to them because we saw the remnants of it, but we have no idea what they do, what's coming for them.
What else do I want to see happen?
See more of, what's his name? We talked about him before, Matt Berry, the robot. I really like the robot a lot. That tried to do surgery.
He was funny. I imagine we're not gonna see much more of him.
Maybe other robot like versions.
But
like
maybe another, yeah, maybe a different robot that's okay. Just same voice. I would like to see more people and like understand how did the Brotherhood come to be, and like how did they not, like, because I don't think they were part of the vault. Unless they were, and they started they branched off from the vault. But I don't think they really explored too much about, like, the start of the Brotherhood.
Yeah. We don't really know where they came from.
So I would like to know that.
I think you're right, though. I think they are. It's so funny because there's people who play the games who probably know exactly where they come from.
No, literally. They're probably like, these idiots. All you have to do is a quick Google search.
Yeah, I'm glad that you don't know, and, you know, didn't spoil it for yourself. Not at least yet.
I mean, I don't care that much. I think I can wait. I didn't really like the Brotherhood, and I didn't feel like they were that important to the point where I need to know about them. So that's why I just looked them up.
Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah, the Brotherhood is really lacking.
They really serve little to no purpose other than to be like an antagonist for Maximus.
Yeah, and we talked about it. It's pretty impressive, though, in a show where I feel like it's, you know, it's about video games, is that if the video game aspect of it, which is usually, you know, shoot, first-person shooter, there's not that much action in this show, and the fact that it's hooking everyone so easily is really impressive. The fact that we aren't seeing a lot of the Brotherhood.
Yeah, this is a very...
Hopefully that does come, though.
For being a first-person shooter game, I'm pretty sure it is. This show is so character-driven. Which I love. I love character-driven story because it just, like, it makes it just so much more interesting than to have everything centered around, like, a big plot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you can only do so much if you don't have characters.
Well, no, I just mean, like, when you're writing something, it's way more interesting to write the plot unfolding around like the realizations of a character as opposed to
having like, the plot first.
Having the plot be the central thing and then fitting your characters around the plot.
I think that's what really benefits. We talked about how they didn't, you know, base this off of any idea of the game. It's the fact that we don't know anything about the game, which is really interesting coming from our perspectives. But if there
maybe
was
we need to start a stream and play Fallout.
The thing is, I wanted to. I think we talked about it, but I found out it was just for Xbox, and I have.
Oh, I'm not getting an Xbox for this.
Yeah.
Well, the original game was a PC game.
Oh yeah. I don't have a PC, so maybe you'll be able to.
We can play. We can play Fallout 1997.
But like, if there is a main plot of the game itself, they totally went away with that, and like, we're going to use the world and we're going to build our characters, and then based on our characters we're going to find something, a plot that can connect them all. And that's exactly what they did with the energy source in the guy's neck, and I thought it was done really well. I did think that we were going to get not as many interactions. I think I texted you this maybe, but that there was three different storylines, and I thought they weren't going to connect as much as they did, but they interacted like in the second episode
or at least yeah, the first I episode. Thought that they would. When you said that, I was like, oh, okay, like they'll all intersect like in the like last couple episodes. No, they all intersected by episode two. I mean, honestly, some of them by the end of episode one.
Yeah, yeah. I remember it was called Philly because I thought of Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, so more of the Brotherhood, more vaults. We have to find out what's going on in Vault 32. Anything with a ghoul. Yeah, that's about it. So we have like three different things that we want to see from each character's perspective. I guess Lucy and the ghoul are going to go find her father.
Yeah, I want her to hunt him down, and I want to see Lucy blow up Vault 31.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the realization of her mother being there at the end. That was wild.
The minute there was a dead corpse right there, like a zombie right there, I was like, that's her mom.
Oh, really? You got it
the right minute, and then they showed her necklace and was like, that's her mom.
Oh, geez. Yeah, you did better than me. I was like I was very shocked.
I mean, I was still shocked when it happened, but I was just shocked a little sooner.
Yeah. But I'm excited. Hopefully season two comes quickly. I think we're going to talk about him. Jonathan Nolan is writing it or putting the plans together right now.
Mm-hmm.
For it. It seems like they have good direction where they want to go. They just need the green light, I guess. And
they'll get it here soon enough.
Yeah, watch, I think doesn't Netflix take around 3 to 4 or 5 weeks?
I mean, Netflix, they'll usually do renewals within the 90-day window if it's like super popular, but like if they're going to cancel something, they wait 90 days now.
All right, we're still waiting because we talked about this, but we're still waiting on any updates from Three Body Problem has still not gotten canceled, but it still hasn't gotten renewed yet.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm leaning toward it's going to be canceled because we're now a month out from the show's premiere and it didn't do it. Netflix hasn't said anything.
It's still not doing good numbers, but I will say one thing that's kind of at its advantage, just because I watch the chart and set the charts a lot, is the fact that it is been number one for like the last 3 weeks. But okay, that's because nothing else has come out to replace its spot.
That's true. Dead Boy Detectives coming out next Friday or next Thursday will probably knock it out of number one since it's a Sandman spinoff.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is, even though I think we talked about it, even though it was at like 15 million views its first week and it was at number two, this past week it was at like 4 million views and it was at number one because nothing has come out.
Yeah, well, there we go. Canceled.
But I'm very curious. I made a video about this as we're getting into Jonathan Nolan here. I don't know if this man will or will not dive into film at all. Because, as we know, his brother is a very famous man. Just won his first Oscar, first Best Picture. Congratulations, Christopher. It's so funny. I feel like a lot of people think he's pretentious just because he's just quiet. He doesn't, like, show a lot of emotion. He's just calm and to himself. And I've seen a lot of people hate on him for that. I'm like, he's not saying anything. It's like, he's not saying anything at all, so people hate him. But he's also not saying anything at all, so people
don't
like him, kind of thing. It's weird. People just want to know who he is, but he's so reserved that people get frustrated about that.
Just learn about who he is through his freaking movies, people.
Yeah. But we do know that his brother helped write a lot of his earlier films. Interstellar, Dark Knight, Dark Knight Rises, The Prestige, and Memento, which me and you both watched Memento. I also just watched The Prestige, not for the first time. Have you ever watched The Prestige?
I've never watched The Prestige.
Are you a sucker? This is kind of completely different. Have you ever watched the Now You See Me films?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my wife really likes the Now You See Me films, and I mean, The Prestige has to do with magic. It's very different stylistically from, it's about magicians.
Okay.
So that's how I kind of convinced her to watch it with me. But I think it's a really, really solid film. I know a lot of people who are fans of him think maybe it's almost his best underneath Oppenheimer. I thought it was really solid. A little bit better than Memento. How did you like Memento? The Memento is the show that we're recommending to people today.
Movie.
It's funny that we're recommending it.
It's the movie we're recommending.
A lot of people have watched it.
I liked it, though.
We wanted to. Yeah. I mean, it's besides maybe The Following, which was Christopher Nolan's very first film. This is his second film.
Yeah.
It's probably his least watched. Maybe Insomnia. He has another film called Insomnia with Al Pacino and Robin Williams, mm-hmm. which I need to get to that here in the next couple of days. But so you thought your TV was broken, right, with Memento?
I thought that the app I was using to watch it glitched and rewinded like 5 minutes because I wasn't paying attention. And the scene where he's like in the bathroom and he grabs, like, he's holding the bottle in his hand. And he's like, I'm not drunk. Like, what's happening? And then he gets in the shower and then he fights this man happened. And I, like, watched it all. And then I got up to go get some water and, like, grab a snack or something. And, like, the movie was still on and, like, the TV's not far from my kitchen. So I was, like, listening. And then I turn around and the same scene's happening. And I was like, wait, what the hell? I just watched this.
You gotta pay attention.
No, and then that's when I sat down and I was like, okay, let me just rewind and watch these scenes. So I ended up watching that scene 4 times. Not actually 4, just like twice, but like the same scene plays twice. So total, I saw him hold this bottle 4 times. And I was like, I'm not getting up, not taking my eyes off the TV. I'm sat and paying attention for the rest of the film. And
Go ahead.
And I was just like, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a very creative way to tell a story using short-term memory.
Yes.
And like, what, like, you as the audience are finding out everything as if you have short-term memory also.
Yes. This was, I'll give you a little quiz here. This was nominated for 2 different Oscars.
Oh, God.
What do you think it was for?
I feel like...
kind of, just playing off of what you just said, kind of.
I feel like editing...
That's one.
And I...
What does the editing go hand in hand with? Like, why is the editing there?
I guess the original screenplay or the cinematography?
Yep, that was it, the screenplay.
Okay.
Cinematography. And there's nothing special in the cinematography. In my eyes, you do have, like, the black and white, but that's just, you know, helps the narrative.
Yeah.
But yeah, the editing is marvelous, in my opinion. It's very interesting because... as you said, you're trying yourself to put the pieces together and you get just enough information and then you're it's taken away from you, just like it is with him. And you're like, oh, I'm trying so hard to figure out this story. Did you understand the, you want to spoil it?
I mean, just spoil it. This movie is from 2000. If you haven't watched it now, you probably aren't going to watch it.
That's true. A lot of people, did you understand the ending? Because I have an issue with this film. I looked up explanation videos because, I mean, I pulled a Zach, a little confused, very confusing movie. And even the videos themselves, I think, didn't have a set answer. They don't necessarily know what was truthful and what was not. And there's this creative choice that's like, it doesn't matter because you're just like him. I don't think that's appropriate. I think your film, even like, I think with the editing, it really worked, with the story, it really works. But in the end, I think you need to have a film that makes sense. And I don't know in the end if it does. Did he kill his wife? Did he have her overdose on insulin? Like, where's the confusion at? Did you look up any explanation videos?
I had to read an explanation of it. Which like followed along with what I thought, that he is racked.
Me and my wife are arguing at the end of this, because I was like, I think this is true. She's like, no, Stone, that's not right.
I thought he did kill his wife and was racked with the guilt, which is why he continues to go on these missions and tattoo licenses on himself to then blame other people and take them out for his guilt.
But he didn't kill his wife with the insulin. That's the thing, is I think maybe it does make sense. Maybe he did kill his wife. And I think as a result of killing his wife, he created this condition maybe in his head.
Yes, like his guilt has... ruined
maybe
him.
It doesn't make sense. Maybe I'm about to put the pieces together. So Sammy Watkins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sammy Watkins was a true guy who was actually faking this and didn't have a wife. And the insulin part was actually his wife, right? But he didn't, he was just confusing those stories. And he actually didn't kill his wife. Well, why did he strangle his wife though?
I don't know.
That's the thing. That's the thing.
I need to deep dive more into this.
Right. Well, I'll tell you this. I do think that, see why, yeah, that's the thing. As I'm trying to put the pieces together, I'm saying, okay, maybe he strangled his wife. And because he strangled his wife, that he developed this condition. And that's why all this happened. Like, how did he develop this condition if he's the one that strangled his wife?
The guilt.
But then we got to know, why did he strangle his wife? Because he really loves his wife. Is there a motive there? And there's, I can't find one. Is he
maybe,
just crazy?
Maybe that's what he has, like, fully, that's the only long-term memory that he forgot. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
His motive.
Anyways, there's one scene I thought was interesting that you haven't seen yet, I don't believe, unless you've read it, is there's a snippet in black and white where you watch Sammy and he's like in a mental institution and he's just sitting there, and this is after he overdosed his wife on insulin. Mm-hmm. He's just sitting there and somebody walks past Sammy, and as he's walking past, for this is the person's body, for a split second, this image is Leonard, Lenny. You see him, and he's in the mental institution. For a single frame, you see the protagonist in the mental institution instead of Sammy.
Interesting.
Yes. Yes. So
Was this a deleted scene?
No. It's so quick that you don't see it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, putting the pieces together, or say, okay, Sammy wasn't in the institution. That was actually him. He maybe broke out of the institution. He has this condition. He killed his wife, but did he strangle his wife? Did he overdose her on insulin? That's where I'm like, where does this all make sense? I do think that at the end of the story, there is a scene where he's going to kill Teddy,
mm-hmm.
or he gets the tattoo right for you, and he's about to pull in. He has this vision where his wife is like, this a little bit confused me, but then watching the explanation videos, it made sense. This isn't true at all. But his wife is like with him in bed, and the tattoos are on him. So that's a little bit perplexing. I'm like, is his wife still alive? Like, how is she with him when he has the tattoos? But he has a tattoo right here, and it says like, it is done or something like that. Like he killed someone.
Yeah.
I think that's just a vision that he wants to like tell himself. But yeah, that's what I'm saying is there. I struggle because I feel like you can't figure out the story, and there's this excuse of, well, you're not supposed to, you're in the person's mind.
But that's such a cop out. Like, you should be able to figure out the story, even if it's not a conclusive ending. You should be able to figure out that this happened, but like, why? I don't know, but this happened.
Right. If they, this is our both of our first watches, right?
Yeah.
So maybe on a second watch, we can find out. Just thinking about it right now, I've come up with new ideas. But if we can figure out maybe some way that reason why he murdered his wife, that's the only thing I'm missing is why did that happen? Did he just randomly do it? Because there's also a pivotal scene that I forgot about, but then was reminded about in the explanation videos, is when he's choking out that guy at the very end, he gets a image really quickly of his wife with the bag over her head. I think that is in direct correlation with like, he has done this before. Like, he did this to his wife.
Yeah. I just like did a quick Google, and Looper says his wife was diabetic but she died from an overdose trying to get him to remember. But that doesn't tell me anything, people. Like,
so see,
I'm like, so, that doesn't tell me, did he kill her? Like, okay, she overdosed, I got that part.
Well, she was in a coma. But then the scene with the wife with her bag over her head didn't happen at all. That's what I'm getting at. See, it's just there's so many interesting, I don't know, predicaments, and it's a movie that can be talked about a lot, see what your own interpretation is, but I feel like there has to be a solidified answer, and I just don't know if there is.
Who killed his wife? How did she die, apparently, is also now in question.
Exactly, because if I remember correctly, Sammy Watkins didn't have a wife. So the whole story with him and, you know, putting, here's the thing. So maybe the strangling of his wife is just something that he tells himself.
Maybe.
And something that happened, I don't know, because it makes sense if he was in the mental institution. It makes sense because, remember in the Sammy Watkins story, Sammy is in the mental institution because he overdosed his wife. So if you remember, for that single frame, you get to see Lenny or Leonard in the mental institution. Maybe that's signifying to us that actually he's the one who gave his wife insulin and overdosed her. But what caused him to have, because supposedly this mental condition, see, it's all confusing.
I'm just going to keep going in circles trying to figure out what the hell happened to this wife.
Yeah, it's very
fascinating. All we know is she's dead.
Who, if you think about it,
how and when, no clue.
It's just frustrating to me because I gave it a 3.5 out of 5 stars. I just don't know, which is blasphemous, but there's a lot of people who just are in love with this film. But like I said, if you take that angle, like I just said, and he's the one who did all that to his wife, well, then how did he get his mental condition? Did he make it up himself? Did he actually get his head thrown against something? It's just, the more you think about it, the more holes I find.
I feel like if you go with the scenario you just laid out, the way he got the mental condition is just like trauma. Like,
from what? There has to be a what?
No, just like the trauma of his wife dying.
No, his wife died because he had, if he's Sammy Watkins, then he's the one who overdosed his wife because Sammy Watkins had that condition.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. There's holes. Yes.
So it's just like, it's a never-ending loop. Never mind.
Exactly. Supposedly Dan. Supposedly Dan knows.
Okay, well, Dan should make a video about this and send it to us.
Well, people love this movie, so maybe we're missing something. Like I said, it's our first watch.
Maybe we're missing.
I recommend it, though. If you want to watch a show that'll have you talking and confuse you and look up videos about it afterwards, Memento's definitely the one to go.
Yeah, it's a really cool concept. Very cool concept. Very well edited, except the ending.
Well, yeah, and maybe we're missing something. And it's just fascinating to me, even when I was talking about The Prestige. I mean, you've watched Oppenheimer. Christopher Nolan really loves meddling with time. Like different timelines. He loves it to death.
Yeah.
And this is the second film. I'm wondering, I think The Following actually does this as well, his first film. He's got a signature move. The Prestige is very similar. I think The Prestige, even though there's 4 timelines in The Prestige, I still understood that film a lot easier than Memento. Memento was a struggle.
I mean, Oppenheimer, even though it jumps from decade to decade repeatedly across time so often, I understood that. That was way clearer.
Yeah, it deserved the win for editing. They did a good job editing that film.
Maybe the editing in Memento wasn't as good as we thought it is, and that's why we don't know. Well, no, it was actually very well edited. Like, the way scenes play out is very cool.
I don't know. Maybe we'll have to sit on this and get back to it when we talk about another Christopher Nolan film one day. I don't know.
Yeah, what's his next one? Does he have a next one?
No, there's nothing on there. No, okay. That's what everyone's wondering. Who knows, maybe we'll have Cillian Murphy, and it's just good luck charm.
Maybe he'll do another superhero movie. But like, make it good.
I couldn't even guess what he's going to do. He's won an Oscar. He's not going to do horror, I don't think. That's too small for him. I mean, he could make it larger than life. That's the thing, is a lot of people just want these big-time directors to do horror films. It would be really cool.
It would be, but I feel like what he should do is take the most obscure superhero in like ever and make a movie about time. Yes, maybe he should do a Dr. Fate movie.
Maybe.
That's, he should do a Dr. Fate movie. Or a Booster Gold.
I'm sorry, Christopher Nolan's not going to do a Booster Gold movie.
No, he's not, but he should. It's about time. He's a time traveler.
Yeah, you tell him that.
It'd be funny to see him do a very comedic character because his movies are so serious.
That's the thing, though. It's his style. He's not going to do a comedic movie.
So that would be the challenge. That would be the challenge for him. He's won an Oscar. He's done it all. What is there left to do other than horror and comedy?
No, it won't happen.
Everyone else is telling him to do horror, so let's make him do comedy.
He won't do it.
That's my hot take. Christopher Nolan's next step is Booster Gold.
I think if I'm looking at his films, Tenet, I believe, is original story. Obviously, Dunkirk is based on a true story. Mm-hmm. But basically, all of his films are original stories. Interstellar, Inception, all.
Yeah.
Besides, I mean, obviously, The Dark Knight's trilogy is based off something. I think this is the first film, Oppenheimer, that he has adapted, right? Directed from
something.
Directly from American Prometheus. So I think he would do really well. Maybe he is, you know, fist bumping his buddy Denis Villeneuve a lot over Dune Part 2. If he could take maybe some science fiction, some larger than life science fiction, and adapt it. Because now he's more comfortable with adapting.
Yeah.
And he's only done one science fiction film real. Think about space. I mean, Inception's very science fiction, and even The Prestige a little bit. But I think maybe he's going to start, maybe adapt some science fiction novel, do a Three Body Problem movie.
I still need to find that Three Body Problem anime.
Oof. But yeah, that's we'll see if his brother will catch up to him. We'll see if Jonathan's going to be the one
maybe
gonna
make they, a film before. Maybe they like staying in their lanes and like coming like together Jonathan to help each other, but like staying separate, because like Christopher Nolan's not going to do TV.
No, and they haven't worked together since Interstellar. So I think maybe Jonathan just likes, I don't know, it'd be really interesting to see, because he seems like he wants to work on Fallout Season 2. He doesn't really have any aspirations for trying to do anything theatrical right now.
Yeah.
But we'll see. He did very good on Fallout.
He did.
He did. He directed the first three episodes, which is the most. I gave this illustration in some research that I did, but in Person of Interest and Westworld, the two shows that he's created, besides Fallout, which he didn't create Fallout, he's just the director of it, but out of all those shows, he only directed four episodes in total between those two series. In this, he directed three of the eight episodes, so he is directing more.
Yeah, and these are longer episodes too. Like the first three episodes are all like an hour and like over an hour each.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see if he tries to, you know, venture into other creative avenues. But if he stays here, we're gonna be happy, because Fallout Season 1, pretty good.
Fallout Season 1, one of the best shows of 2024 so far. I'm trying to think of
better than Three Body Problem.
Yeah. For sure. Definitely better than Avatar. Oh, 100%. I don't even know what else has come out this year. Like, I can't even remember. Invincible, but I
wouldn't. Oh, huh? Invincible. Ooh, that's a toughie. I don't know if I'm just thinking about Season 2. I don't know. That's tough.
I don't know.
Amazon's killing it.
Yeah, Amazon is really killing it. And I really like Amazon because they don't cancel a lot.
Yeah. Nobody liked The Rings of Power, but they're still doing Season 2 because they spent a kajillion dollars
on it. They spent so much money on that. Way too much money on that. That's their three-body problem.
But we'll try to keep everyone up to date if three-body problem is going to get canceled. I'm really excited.
It'll be our new segment. Has three-body problem been renewed or canceled?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that'd be something fun that we could do, is like update people based on the shows that we've covered, whether they get renewed or...
Invincible, I knew it was going to happen. Yeah. Invincible's been renewed for seasons 4 and 5. And yeah, Robert Kirkman said he expect up to 7 seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. It's crazy that they have... The animation is expensive in that show, but they have like people... They have so many different voice actors voicing so many different characters.
And they're big people too. It's not like they're just getting like nobody. They're getting like big name people to voice these characters.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's funny. I put it on Twitter. I can't wait to watch Mark get the shit beat out of him for like three more seasons. He always does.
Literally, that poor boy. I don't know how he's alive.
What are we covering next week? We're covering Abigail.
Abigail.
Which Zach is watching tonight.
Yep, I'm seeing Abigail tonight.
I watched it in a pre-screening yesterday, a media screening. Nice. I felt very fancy. I went all the way to New York City to watch it one day early. I was gonna get like a fancy ticket. I got one of those, you know, like a carnival. They like rip those little tickets. This is like a mint
stub.
Yeah, I got a stub. I was like, okay, that's fine. But yeah, Abigail, solid time. Can't wait for Zach to watch it. And then we're also going to cover the movie Freaky that Zach is watching. I have not watched, with Catherine Newton and Vince Vaughn, right?
Yeah, Vince Vaughn. It's like one of Vince Vaughn's first movies in forever. Like, I don't think he's done a lot since.
And it's a COVID movie too, right? I think it came out in 2022.
It might have come out
in 2020. Yep.
2020. Okay. Yeah, I watched it on a plane. And it was a very stressful plane ride. Because we were in a race, my little sister and I were in a race against time trying to finish this movie because it was just barely shorter than our flight. But like, you have to take off and come back down.
Yeah.
We didn't think we would finish the movie and it wasn't streaming anywhere else.
That's happened to me. Recently, that was Pan's Labyrinth. I tried to watch it. And I didn't get through it at all. It really pissed me off. But it's fine. We won't be watching this on a plane. We'll be watching it in the comfort of our homes.
Yep.
But the connecting material there, we've got to think of a good name for this, like what connects the two. But Catherine Newton, that's our angle next week, or next episode, is Catherine Newton's
Catherine Newton.
Abigail. She's, I can't wait for you to see a certain scene with her, and Abigail is pitch perfect. Yeah, but she's in both of those films, so she's going to be our focus next episode. But we'll see you guys then. Thanks for tuning in to our episode today about Fallout Memento. Hope you'd enjoyed. As always, I'm Stone.
And I'm Zach.
And we'll see you next time on the Inspired Popcorn Podcast. Thanks, guys.